We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name's Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. I just had to like take a breath before I said Blue Wire Network. I'm like eight words in and I'm already having to like take a breath. Jesus, Rob. Time to get out and do some cardio. In reality, kind of like an allergy day for me. So I've got like no intake coming through my nose while I speak. So there will be moments where I like pause and catch my breath, but even still, get out and do some cardio there, Rob. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. Grab some leftover Easter candy. Have a seat. Gather in. Please get to scooching. If you haven't seen that scene from The Simpsons, Christopher Walken. It's funny. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Prize Picks. Today, we are going to say goodbye to a 49ers legend and a true cornerstone of the 49ers franchise. That was a very effective cliffhanger. It's time to say, just leading off with today, it's time to say goodbye. Like, what did you think we were saying goodbye to? Did you think Striking Gold was over? Did you think this was it? You know, like, did I have you on the edge of your seats for a while? It's kind of like that. I think I've referenced it before, that office scene where Michael Scott has to walk in and tell everybody that he hit Meredith with the car. And the way he words it just pretty much makes everybody think she's dead. He's like, Meredith is no longer with us. She's in the hospital. And it's not, that's not the exact quote, but everybody loses their shit. They're like, why'd you have to say it like that? So, all right. So we are bidding adieu to just an all-time 49ers great, and that is Lions tight end, never wasn't Lions tight end, Brock Wright. Unfortunately for the 49ers, who have now done the legwork for the Lions front office in writing a new three-year, $12 million contract for Brock Wright, who will remain with the Lions because they chose to match the restricted free agent deal that the 49ers sent him. So, I mean, whatever jersey you had planned, whether, you know, if you had already started to create that custom jersey, hopefully you still have time to cancel the order. You know, maybe the 49ers will draft someone else by the name of Wright. I mean, they've had some Wrights in the past, so you could just change the number, I guess. But it's not going to happen. Wright won't be here. Not gonna work here anymore. So, again, just to summarize this in a way that's not completely erratic and goofy in the way that I normally do things, the 49ers will not be acquiring Brock Wright from the Lions. They have chosen to match the restricted free agent offer that the 49ers signed him to, and they had until yesterday to do it. It is now Thursday. And they chose to match it, which I was under the assumption they weren't going to, kind of just based on, for the most part, the way everybody kind of felt about it. Like, when these offers kind of get made, they typically don't get matched. Well, you could tell the Lions really valued what Wright brought to their offense, probably most particularly their run game. I mean, we saw that run game in full force in the first half against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. 12 personnel, two tight ends. I'm sure that they just felt like they didn't want to lose that. And we don't really know the details of the contract. The Lions had already signed Wright to that restricted free agent contract, original round tender of $3 million. And 3 years, $12 million is only $4 million a year. And there's probably some guarantees in there. I want to say that was reported at one point. But I'm sure the Lions didn't really see this as a significant investment. And I don't know where the 49ers had Wright valued. Maybe they feel like they should have offered a little bit more now that the Lions have matched, especially considering, I mean, think of the personal aspect of it. Like, the Lions just like lost in like all-time record-breaking comeback fashion to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And now the 49ers are going to steal their number two tight end. You know, it doesn't, now that you kind of put it together that way, it doesn't really surprise me that they matched the offer. So no Wright. What the 49ers did do though, is they told us two main things. One, the 49ers were right to make that offer. They targeted a player that the Lions thought was valuable and who probably would have been valuable in the 49ers offense. So good on the 49ers professional scouting department for targeting that player. You know, if you want a glass half full approach, at least you know somebody up there is doing their job. On the other hand, in one hand, that's kind of a slight nod to the pro personnel department. But on the other hand, it's kind of a knock on the college personnel department, because this basically says that despite having two newly drafted, one in the third round in Cameron Latu, the 49ers have almost no faith in both Latu and their other drafted tight end, Braden Willis. And if they did, they wouldn't have felt like they needed to go out on a limb and make a significant offer to a restricted free agent on another team. And that's the 49ers' problem to sift through. Obviously, the biggest knock on John Lynch and the 49ers drafting is Trey Lance. But aside from that, they have all these weird misses, you know, like these weird day two misses. You know, if we go and look, I'm just doing this on the fly because I just thought of it. 49ers draft classes. We've pulled this up before. Hopefully, yeah, it's like right here. Yeah, here we go. And maybe I'm overstating this. Okay, but we got in the day two this year, it was Jair Brown, Jake Moody, Cameron Latu. Things aren't looking good for Latu, but still a lot of time. But the problem with how it's already working out is he was seen as kind of a significant reach to begin with. Then you've got Jake Moody, kicker in the third round. Jury's still out. Had himself a pretty good Super Bowl performance outside of the missed extra point, which still haven't decided whose fault that was. And Jair Brown, jury's still out. This is 2023. We don't need to spend a lot of time on that. But then you go to the day two picks in 2022. Drake Jackson trending down. Tyrion Davis Rice, not on the team anymore. Danny Gray, majorly trending down. Let's go to the day two picks in 2021. Aaron Banks, a starter. Not great, not bad, but he's a starter. So, I mean, that to me is a hat tip. Trey Sermon, not on the team anymore. Ambry Thomas, possibly competing for a starting role, has seen plenty of starting action up and down. There were no day two picks in 2020. They took Javon Kinlaw and traded up for Brandon Ayuk. Day two picks in 2019. Debo Samuel nailed that one. Jalen Hurd. Don't know where. 2018. Dante Pettis. Fred Warner. Decent pick. Tarvarius Moore. Not on the team anymore. Dante Pettis. Is he in the league anymore? Not sure. I think he is. 2017. Akello Witherspoon. I mean, he earned his keep, didn't he? Did he? CJ Beathard, not on the team anymore. Shout out to Joe Williams. So now look, I want to be clear here. Good general managers in the NFL hit on like 30 to 40% of their picks. Like, I don't even think it comes close to 40%. So I'm not acting like things need to be perfect here, but the 49ers have not been great on day two. And that's become almost like a trend. And Cameron Latu is just another day two pick that seems like it's, the odds are good. It won't amount to anything. But that being said, the odds that any draft pick amounts to anything is, the odds are against all of them, no matter what round you're picked in. That's just the way the NFL is, and it's pretty ruthless. But anyways, kind of a tangent I wasn't planning on going off of, but we are here to talk draft. We're going to talk draft. Today we are going to go through, we're going to do a mock draft roundup. We're going to go through all of the most recent mock drafts from around the league. A couple of 49ers guys in there. We're going to talk about the prospect they picked for the 49ers, and we're just going to talk about that prospect. I have got the draft profile from Lance Zierlein of NFL, an NFL analyst on NFL.com. I am not here to pretend I am a draft scout. I am not here to spew verbal diarrhea out as if somehow outside of my teaching career, my coaching career, my raising a newborn recent career, that I have somehow managed to become a competent draft scout, and so I can feed you these terms. I'm not here to act like that. I've got the draft profile pulled up for each one of these players. We'll briefly hit on it, touch on the overview, strengths, weaknesses. Sometimes there's a little source quote on there that's pretty interesting. And we'll just take a look at everything. We're kind of getting to know the players that NFL analysts think are the most likely choices for the 49ers, which of course means they're not going to pick any of these people. But so that's my little disclaimer. I've gathered all the information up. We could check it out together. Could you have sat at home for a couple hours and gathered all the same information up? Sure, but then you wouldn't get to hang out with me while we did it. So I don't see the point of that. But I don't want anybody to, I don't ever want to mislead anybody into, or excuse me, probably a better word is pretend to be something I'm not. We'll talk about these prospects. I'll give you my takes based on what I've read and what I've seen, and we'll work through it. But I'm not trying to spoon feed you any bullshit. So as long as you know that, we can get started. Leading off is Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Great dude. Everything you've heard about Matt Barrows, if it's true, if it's good, it's true. Like, he would laugh at me saying this, and me and Matt Barrows have plenty of little inside jokes and quips and stuff. Every time Matt Barrows sees me, he acts like it's a huge deal that I'm there. Like, he's being graced with my presence. It's the sweetest thing. He's a good dude. So if you see Matt Barrows, say hi to him. He's a nice guy. He looks kind of like peeking in the brain, you know, like kind of intimidating a little bit, but he's not. He's awesome. He's insanely intelligent. And so again, if you see him, say hi to him, because he's and tell him I sent you, because he might give you the same reaction. Wait, Rob Lauder sent you here? Like, you know, it's really quite funny. I promise it is. And obviously you guys know that I don't think I'm a big deal. I just got done talking about how I'm not a big deal, but the fact that he likes to act like that always cracks me up. So in Barrows' mock draft on The Athletic, he has the 49ers trading up to pick number 21. That's 10 spots up from 21. That is a significant trade to select Georgia offensive tackle Amarius Mims. In this trade, the 49ers are giving up 2 fourth-rounders and next year's third. So this is, if this were to take place, and I am going to take a 2.5 second pause to blow my nose real quick. Ready? I don't know. Was that actually 2.5 seconds? I hope it was. I hope it was close. You can rewind this and time me if you want. Again, dealing with allergies, I certainly don't want you guys to have to listen to me sniff a single time or like just get more and more Kermit-y as the pod goes on. So let's talk about Amarius Mims. 6'7", 340 pounds. 6'7", 340 pounds. That dude would make DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead look not as big. Still big, but not as big. Everything you're going to read about Mims is the physical tools are off the charts. Off the charts. Even on Lance Zierlein's overview. Talented tackle prospect carrying a picturesque frame and exciting NFL traits. To me, and this is very, kind of a very shallow statement in the fact that I haven't done this insane amount of digging to find out how many players this actually happens with, but I feel like when their NFL traits are mentioned before any of their productivity, it's like a red flag. And again, that could happen way more often than I think it does. But Zierlein does go on to say that Mims plays with pretty good technique. And is ahead of the game with hand placement. He has the size and bend to create movement and adequate athleticism to make blocks on the move. Although he can be inconsistent in that area, he uses a two-hand punch that causes him to lunge forward a bit. But that should be correctable. It's very rare to see him clearly beaten by a rusher, and he has the recovery talent to do something about it when it happens. Mims has more development to go. See, this is when you start to get into that first sentence. But he's a day one prospect with the traits and talent to be considered at either tackle position. He has a high ceiling, but questions due to his lack of experience could temper expectations. He played in 2023, played in 7 games with 6 starts at right tackle, then an ankle injury and a surgery kind of derailed him from there. And 2022, he played in 14 games at right tackle became a national champion. And then before that, he was a reserve. So not a ton of experience. And again, to me, the biggest selling point that I'm always reading about with Mims is just he is absolutely massive. Doesn't have a whole lot of experience. You know, it's just, is that the type of prospect that the 49ers want to trade up 10 picks for? This is almost like a lot of parallels with the Trey Lance trade. If you're going to trade up 10 picks, to select a guy like Amarius Mims, whose biggest knock is probably his experience and kind of his inconsistencies that are all based off that inexperience. Is that what the 49ers are in position to do? Because now the 49ers they're a victim of their own success. They've drafted a ton of great players. They paid those great players, which is, I've never had any arguments with everybody the 49ers have paid. If anything, they probably could have paid a little bit more, a couple more in my book. But now they got a hit on every draft pick, especially the early ones, on players that are meant to contribute early. They have to. The 49ers are trying to upgrade on Colt McKivitz, and they're eventually trying to replace Trent Williams. And to me, going up 10 spots and selecting somebody like Mims is probably a nod that they think that Mims can eventually go from right tackle over to left tackle and replace Trent Williams because he can play both. So, you know, that's, at least he's projected to be able to play both. I mean, it's kind of a common thing. So I like the pick. He's 22nd on Pro Football Focus's big board. He's 22nd on ESPN's big board. The value is there, whether he's being taken at 31 or 25 or 21. The biggest thing with me, if you're going to take a guy like Mims, you got to get him on the field and play him. Don't mess around and just have him swing tackle backup behind McKivitz and Williams. And I feel like that's exactly what the 49ers would do. And that was part of why Lance didn't work out, if the 49ers weren't necessarily in a position to get him on the field right away. And I was always in favor of that because of the development. But now the 49ers are at a point where they need to get somebody like Mims as much experience as possible before it's absolutely necessary that he play well because he's replacing somebody. You know, at least if Mims is out there and things just aren't going well, they have a Colton McKivitz to bring up and you know, to give him more time. But the way I see it is you would need Mims to get as many snaps as possible before he replaces somebody like Trent Williams. So I would like this pick. I think it would go a long way towards solidifying the 49ers' depth, upgrading the offensive line, and giving you just a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for when Trent Williams eventually steps down. So probably one of the more common prospects I've seen tagged with the 49ers. You can find him on mock drafts a lot. Field Yates, ESPN Field Yates, who's started to focus on the draft, typically does a lot of fantasy. I'm a big fan of Field Yates, just a class act. In his mock draft, he had had the 49ers trading up to 24 with the Cowboys to select Mims. They gave up their third rounder. And the big thing here that I thought was interesting, and that's why I kept his draft up here, is he had the 49ers trading to 24 to get in front of the Packers, who are almost like a lock to take a tackle because they've lost a lot of their offensive linemen. Let's see what Yates said about Mims and the trade. He said Mims is 6'8" and 340 pounds, and he has nearly 87 inches in wingspan and terrific footwork. He's inexperienced with just 803 college snaps and 8 starts. But after extending right tackle Colton McKivitz through 2024, San Francisco could afford to develop Mims this offseason and work him into the lineup as needed in year one. Mims would also be a potential succession plan to Trent Williams long-term at left tackle. Okay, so me and Yates are pretty much in lockstep. The only way I'm not starting Mims day one is if it's just a clear drop-off between him and McKivitz. And even then, I'm trying my absolute damnedest to get him into the lineup as soon as possible. Because, like we said, the goal is to eventually replace somebody like Williams. You're going to need a ton of experience. Other common offensive tackle is far and away the most common mock draft pick for the 49ers. Tons of names you're going to see out there. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, 30th on Pro Football Focus's big board, 31 on ESPN. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, 40 on PFF, 38 on ESPN. And Troy Fautanu out of Washington, 14th on PFF and 9th on ESPN. So, Troy, fat chance, dude. You are going to go long before the 49ers have any shot on you. And if I just don't see him lasting like maybe 15. And I just think that's a little out of range for the 49ers, unless they just absolutely love everything about him and are willing to just fork over like a future one to come all the way up there and get him. I just don't see him slipping into the 49ers range. He's kind of the consensus, like, second or third best offensive tackle. So, I mean, if we go over to Pro Football Focus's big board, I've got it set to tackles right now. Their fifth ranked player is Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. Then you've got Talisi Fuaga, their 12th ranked player, Troy Fautanu, 14. The dude from Penn, Olumiyawa Fashanu. I could have done a better job with that. 18th ranked player. J.C. Latham out of Alabama is their 19th ranked player. Amarius Mims is their 22nd ranked player. Graham Barton is their 25th ranked player. Tyler Guyton is their 30th ranked player. Jordan Morgan, their 40th ranked player. So this is a massive draft for offensive tackles and offensive linemen. And so if the 49ers trade up on a draft like this, that means they're targeting a guy that they really feel like has defined himself among this massive group of players. You know, so if we get to draft day and the 49ers trade up and target an offensive lineman, I'm going to be the expectations are going to be high, I guess, is the best way to put that, because there's so many offensive linemen, so many offensive tackles, that if they're trading up for one, then that means they've really seen one that they feel fit their system and what they need far better than everybody else. All right, before we get into, we've got one, two, three, four, five other mock drafts to cover. Okay, so we're going to have a lot of content for you guys shortly after the break. But first, and we need to talk about some Prize Picks. That's just what we need to do. Y'all know what it is. Striking Gold is paired with Prize Picks for 2024. And Prize Picks is the easiest, most exciting, most fun way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you and against the numbers. You're picking more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and you're watching the winnings roll in. You're watching the winnings roll in. I didn't do many rolling or winning, but I have more faith in you than me. Testing my skills on Prize Picks was far and away the most fun I've had in an NFL season for a while, and anything that was just kind of, it was just unexpected. I wasn't sure what to think of Prize Picks when we first started talking about them, and before I knew it, it was such a standard routine of my NFL experience. And what I liked best is it's just so simple. It's so simple. You can set a lineup so fast in less than a minute, and it's just, it looks nice, aesthetically pleasing. Go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD, and you're going to get a first deposit matchup up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/gold, promo code GOLD, and they're going to match your first deposit, $100. Prize Picks, that's daily fantasy sports made so easy. So easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so let's keep going. Point being so far is the rest of the NFL sees offensive tackle as the biggest need for the 49ers. And they are mocking all of the offensive tackles to the 49ers. Okay, so it's out there, which again means the 49ers will not select an offensive tackle, which is a great transition to Kyle Madsen, friend of the pod, Candlestick Chronicles, collaboration episodes, witty as all hell, the master of puns, Kyle Madsen of Niners Wire. I used to write for Niners Wire, if you didn't know that. Shout out also to Chris Biederman. Kyle was doing a mock draft on Pro Football Focus's mock draft generator, I believe. And he ended up at pick 31 selecting Oregon center Jackson Powers Johnson, which would be another significant fall. Now, I say that, but it's almost based on the way people talk about him. Once I looked at the big boards, he was 24th on Pro Football Focus's big board, but 48th on ESPN's. So who knows where the actuality lies there. But to me, do the 49ers need tackles? Plural, yes. Do the 49ers need a center? Not right now. But would I be, for lack of a better word, upset with the 49ers if they drafted a Jackson Powers Johnson? Absolutely not. One, if he's a mid first round talent that just happens to fall to the 49ers and they pull the trigger on that, I love it. I love it. Two, right now, if in a perfect world where the 49ers didn't need offensive tackles, drafting a center, a good one, seems like the perfect thing to pair with Brock Purdy. The two would develop together. Kyle Shanahan places a ton of responsibility on centers. They would develop together. They would build on their knowledge of the offense together. Purdy would help Powers Johnson. Powers Johnson would help Purdy. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan is a huge fan of young centers just based on the responsibility they have on the offense. But I just saw this as a true best player available type pick, and one that I just wouldn't fault them for making if they, in this case, Jake Brendel could slide to the right or left and compete for left or right guard. And you're just making a massive, important investment at one of the most important positions in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So it's kind of cool to think about. Does it shake the tree a little bit? Does it mean the 49ers are kind of on the back foot when it comes to replacing their tackles? Yeah. But again, I just think something like this, while it would definitely be a curveball, and I think you'd hear a lot about people going like, hey, what the hell? They don't need a center. I think this would probably be seen as one of those, like, 5 years from now, everybody's like, damn, what a pick from the 49ers. What a pick. You know, it gives the 49ers a long-term answer at center to develop with Brock Purdy, and that to me is the biggest value in it. But I had to touch on Zuerlein's scouting report. The first thing he says about Jackson Powers Johnson's strengths, first bullet point, I'm going to say this really slow. He carries a broad chest, thick hips, and meaty hands. I mean, you can feel about that however you want to feel about that. I don't even know how to feel about that when reading it. It's just a lot of words put together that I never thought I would hear together. Let's do this again. We should go like some weird ASMR with it. Not going to do that too much. Think that's weird, but to each their own. He says that Jackson Powers Johnson has a meaty. No, excuse me. I got to the meaty too quick. He says that Jackson Powers Johnson carries a broad chest, thick hips, and meaty hands. I mean, how can you not read that and just smile a little bit? I couldn't get over it when I first saw it. I was like, I need to put this on the notes. Zuerlein's sources say he's tough, smart, and strong. I just don't overthink it with centers. When you get those elements, you usually have a starter. And that's from an NFC scouting director. Shoot, could be from the 49ers. We don't know. So that's a fun pick to me. That's a good pick to me. That's one that not a lot of people are expecting. You know, he won the Remington Trophy, which is for the nation's top center. First team Associated Press All-American. First team All-Pac-12 honors. Started 13 games. Team was a Joe Moore Award finalist for the nation's top. Oh, the team with him was a finalist for the nation's top offensive line. So pretty sweet. He's done time at right guard. He's done time at left guard. He's even done time at defensive tackle. So he's a very versatile prospect. I like it. Am I expecting it? No. Do I think he falls to the 49ers? No. But it's fun. And I think that it would prove to be one of those picks that won on all of the mock draft grades or the draft grades. It would get an A+ from pretty much everybody. And I think that it would be one of those picks that in the future we look back on like, damn, that's pretty sweet. All right. Chad Reuter of NFL had the 49ers with selecting Rutgers cornerback Max Melton. 5'11", 190 pounds, ran a 4.39 40, 40 and a half vertical, 11'4" broad jump. So big time athlete, versatile. He can move inside and he can move outside. That's what the 49ers need. You know, if you remember where the 49ers are in cornerbacks right now, they've got Charvarius Ward locked to be a starter on the outside. They've got D'Amador Lenore. Is he starting at nickel? Is he starting on the outside opposite Ward? We don't know where the 49ers have planned for. I feel like they value the nickel more, or they take more comfort knowing their nickel was locked down. So that, you know, maybe we can, D'Amador Lenore, maybe we can pencil him into playing nickel. That could very well not be the case. But either way, the 49ers are down one starting corner. Ambry Thomas will be given the opportunity to compete for that role, but I'm pretty sure the 49ers are probably out on the idea of him being any type of long-term solution. So seeing a corner in the first round for the 49ers, which they have never done, and I literally, I did keep it. Okay, good. The 49ers have never drafted a corner in the first round. And I don't even know if they've ever drafted. No, they've drafted a corner on day two. We talked about that. That was Ambry Thomas. But they've never drafted one in the second round. Akello Witherspoon was also the third round. Yep. Okay. DeForest Buckner, Will Redmond, another third round corner. That was going way back. So yeah, the 49ers haven't selected a corner in the first round and they haven't even selected one in the second round. So does that mean they won't this year? No. The need is there. The need is there. It just depends on how much the 49ers value the corner position. It seems like they've never really felt like they needed to go too far out on a limb to address it. And they've kind of let competition settle it. And, you know, they definitely focus more on defensive line and pass rush before corner, which is philosophically pretty sound, you know, but it's kind of they work together type of thing. So scouting report said he's capable of man coverage, but he's best in zone, which also fits what the 49ers are typically doing. Three interceptions, six pass breakups, four tackles for loss, a sack. And again, it certainly fills a need for the 49ers. The biggest kind of head scratcher for me was Max Melton was 80th on Pro Football Focus's big board and 59th on ESPN. So from a value standpoint, based on big boards around the league, it seems like a pretty significant reach. But, again, I could probably find a big board where he's much higher. But those are the two that I'm just running with now. So Rutgers cornerback Max Melton from Chad Reuter. Let's keep going. Bucky Brooks. I love me some Bucky Brooks. He also went corner for the 49ers, but he went with Clemson cornerback Nate Wiggins, 6'1", 175. That what does that mean? Tall, very skinny. 4.28 40-yard dash, 36-inch vertical leap, which is the exact same as the two-time back-to-back 1993-1994 blockbuster video game champion and international video gaming superstar Dr. Disrespect. Also had a 36-inch vertical leap, 10-7 broad jump, 9 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, 1 for 6 points. Zerline source says he has better physical talent than Devin Witherspoon. Devin Witherspoon was the Seahawks' 5th overall pick last year. But he doesn't have that same level of dog in him. Got that dog in him. That's probably the biggest difference right now. I think Wiggins is the better prospect, though, said an NFC national scout. Again, could be the 49ers. We don't know. They're in the NFC. But those are some, you know, no, he doesn't have that dog in him, but he's a better physical talent than Devin Witherspoon, and he's a better prospect. That's a lot of praise. And, pretty clearly an outside corner with that speed, no one's getting by him. You know, that's a fun pick. Let's read a little bit of Zerline's overview. Wiggins' combination of coverage talent and traits could make him a defensive coordinator's dream. He's tall, long, and fast with rare recovery speed when beaten. Silky smooth lower body movement allows him to mirror releases and trace routes without much effort. He can squeeze a little tighter from off-man coverage, while his range as a cover three cornerback makes him a dangerous option to throw near. He plays with good recognition and elite burst to the throw, which could lead to Pro Bowl production if he can play with more consistent decisiveness. He needs to become a tougher player in run support, which the 49ers will take note of. And when contesting catches against NFL size, Wiggins' speed, scheme, versatility, and playmaking instinct should make him the most sought-after corner in the draft. So the idea that this corner would fall to the 49ers at pick number 31 would be like a damn. Like, were we expecting corner? No, but here this one is. And hell yeah, he's 20th on Pro Football Focus's big board and 21st on ESPN. So The 49ers getting their hands on Nate Wiggins would be seen as a massive win for them. And again, fills a need. The 49ers would now be looking at a cornerback duo or trio of Nate Wiggins, Jarvarius Ward, and Diamino Lenore. And you could do a lot worse than that. So that's a fun pick. I like looking at that one. But again, like Jackson Powers Johnson, seems unlikely just based on the value. I mean, just look at the speed alone at 4.28. People usually, especially at corner, don't really let that go. All right, next we've got two more. Lance Zierlein of NFL, who also does all of their draft reports that we've been referencing, had the 49ers taking Darius Robinson, defensive end out of Missouri. I mean, just a specimen. 6'5", 285 pounds, 10 5/8-inch hands. That is just a little bit shy of DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner had 11-inch hands. Give me 2.5 seconds for another nose break. I think I was a little late on that one. I don't think that was exactly 2.5 seconds. That might have been 3. Still kind of cleaning myself up here. DeForest Buckner had 11-inch hands. I want to say it was like 11.25. For those of you that would like to, I don't know if I've ever said this on the pod. For those of you that would like to illustrate to yourself how big 11-inch hands are, grab a regular piece of printer paper and turn it landscape, meaning it's wider than it is tall. That piece of paper is 11 inches wide in landscape. Put your hand on that. Spread your hand and your fingers as far out as you can. From the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky, measure for DeForest Buckner, measured 11 inches. A little bigger than, I think it was 11.25. I could look it up. But just a little bit bigger than that piece of paper. Like, and Darius Robinson is not too far off of that. And you can see the power in his hands when he plays. First team all SEC, 14 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks, started 12 games, 43 tackles, a forced fumble. He was voted team captain. He's a versatile defensive lineman. He can play the inside. He can play the outside. I would see him lining up as like a defensive end on the obvious passing situations. And then in obvious running downs, base downs. And then he could kick inside like next to Leonard Floyd, next to Nick Bosa. And then on the inside with either Javon Hargrave or Malik Collins, you know, that allows Leonard Floyd to do his thing. Leaves the option open for stunts and mismatches. And he's a versatile player. Lance Zierlein's source says, an NFC scouting director says, he's still learning to play and kind of reminds me of Keon White, Patriots second round pick in 2023, with his traits and what he could become. And again, I watched a little bit of Darius Robinson. I like it. I don't love it. He's got the physical attributes. He looks a little stiff. You can see the power, and you can see how he manhandles people once he has control of them. He's a little stiff. He's a little like, you know, you can see his movement. But again, when you get to like defensive ends this big that kind of walk the line between like an outside linebacker and a defensive lineman, they're never really that twitchy. Well, let's see what Lance Zierlein has the weaknesses here. Rush off the edge, lacks planning and focus early in the rep. He hasn't developed go-to counters to reignite the rush when it stalls. Needs to find better angles of entry instead of predictable charge down the middle. Recognition of play development is average. Play becomes too frenetic and lacking in control at times. Yeah, and some of the plays, it just seems like he doesn't quite have the fluidity, the speed, the kind of like the quicker, twitchy athletic ability. But again, you're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 285, 10 5/8 in his hands. Like, he's a big, strong dude. So maybe the 49ers wouldn't necessarily have him in position to, he's almost somebody that maybe we should look at him as more of like an Eric Armstead replacement rather than a pass rushing replacement. And he did play a lot more outside linebacker this year for Missouri. So, maybe I'm being a little hard on him in a way. And again, you're talking about a prospect that you're getting at 31, which is not going to be flawless, but they'll be pretty damn good. So, he got 8.5 sacks, but he got in 2023 because he had more of an opportunity to rush the passer. But then you go back to 2022, he had 5.5 tackles for loss and only 3.5 sacks. And then in 2021, it says he played in 10 games, 6 starts, final 5 games, 21 tackles, 1 pass breakup. He just, up until 2023, doesn't have a whole lot of productivity to show for it. And again, his role was kind of switching. He was moving around. Voted team captain, so he's probably going to have the mental makeup that 49ers like in that locker room. The NFL compared him to Cam Jordan, which is the 49ers would be perfectly fine with that. So fills the need. The 49ers need a legitimate threat opposite Nick Bosa, or maybe they see him as more of an Eric Armstead replacement and somebody that can bounce around between the outside and the inside. He definitely seems like he's got the power to hold up on the inside. So fun pick. Good pick. I could see how he fits in with the 49ers. In my highly amateur opinion, kind of has some flaws where it kind of seems like people are relying a little too much on what he could be and not what he's done. But again, I don't want to be too hard on any prospect because, I haven't put in the work to make some super passionate decision anyways. All right, last one. Daniel Jeremiah, probably my favorite NFL analyst in the business, had the 49ers going with Chop Robinson out of Penn State. And to be quite honest with you, it wasn't until very recently that I realized that Chop Robinson and Darius Robinson were not the same person. I thought the dude's name was Darius, quote unquote, Chop Robinson. But it's not what it is. It's just Chop Robinson. And then Darius Robinson is his own separate person. And really kind of what you need to see this is, it's kind of like a poor comparison, but it's like Nick Bosa to Eric Armstead. One is a very clearly a defensive end, can still do great on the outside. Whereas one is very much an edge player. Chop Robinson is the edge player. Darius Robinson is more of a defensive end. Can do both for sure. And I think he would do both if he was selected by the 49ers. His NFL comparison is Micah Parsons, which is 49ers wouldn't mind having one of those. His name is Chop Robinson. Check this out from Chad Reuter. His full name is Demayon Robinson, but his nickname is Pork Chop because he was born 11 pounds. 11 pounds. I was now 9 pounds, 8 ounces, and I was a huge baby. My son was 8 pounds, 7 ounces, also a big baby, but 11 pounds? Shout out to Mom for kicking that thing out, man. What an MVP. So his nickname at birth was Pork Chop, and then it eventually just got shortened to Chop, which is a great football name. So, and this is the Leonard Floyd draft pick. Zerline's source says, I get the comparison to Micah Parsons, but I think Parsons was a little more polished as a football player when he came out. Chop is still a little green. That's fine with me. The 49ers are picking at 31. If they're getting somebody that's even draws the slightest comparison to Micah Parsons at 31, then that is a huge win. 6'3", 254. He ran a 4.48 40 at 6'3", 254. That's wild. 34.5-inch vert, 10.5-8-inch broad. 2 forced fumbles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. Kind of modest production. If we're going to talk production when it comes to Darius Robinson, we got to talk production when it comes to Chop. In 2023, third team Associated Press All-American, first team All-Big Ten Conference, tied for the team lead with two forced fumbles. He started 10 games, 15 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks. Missed 2 midseason games due to injury, but not that productive. You go to the year before that, 12 games, 26 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 pass breakups. So, I mean, he's checking the boxes, but none of those numbers are particularly eye-catching. You know, so, and again, you're talking about traits versus productivity versus development. You know he's coming into a good situation, but this is somebody that would be rotating with Leonard Floyd, rotating with Nick Bosa. Not that Nick Bosa comes off the field much, but he's much more of an outside guy. And at 6'3", 254, it's not that he couldn't hold up bumping inside from time to time, but that's clearly not where you want him. And Chop Robinson, to me, comes off as a little bit more of like a genuine outside linebacker and like a 3-4 prospect. But again, in obvious passing situations, he's somebody that could get out there. And Leonard Floyd's only on a 2-year contract, and a lot of his guarantee is tied to year one. So, you know, Chop Robinson would definitely be another pass rusher added to the stable that would secure an affordable and solid defensive player for the future. You know, that's kind of what the point of the draft is. So this one seems just a slightest bit redundant. But again, can you ever have too many edge rushers, especially ones that are getting compared to Micah Parsons. Somebody got like crazy about how many times I said Micah or Micah. I mean, I have a Micah and a Micah in my classroom right now, and I have to bounce my way between both of them, almost messing them up almost every time. So please forgive me if I messed it up once again, but I'm pretty sure I've said it both ways. So can't come at me. All right. So let's recap. We've got Chop Robinson. We've got Darius Robinson, not the same person. Cornerback Nate Wiggins, cornerback Max Melton, Oregon center Jackson Powers Johnson. Every offensive tackle you could imagine from Washington, Arizona, Oklahoma, Georgia. Amarius Mims was obviously the focus there. So it's clear that the NFL still thinks the 49ers are going with an offensive tackle, but depending on how the board falls, there's corners out there, and there's pass rushers and edge defenders and defensive ends out there. Haven't seen anybody tag him with a wide receiver. I would still be surprised by that pick, but I do think that it's kind of a sneaky need depending on where the 49ers are going with that group. And as of right now, I've got a couple guests lined up, probably next week, maybe next episode, maybe the 2 episodes after that. We're going to continue to talk drafts. We're going to continue to talk offensive linemen. I'm going to get people on here that know how to talk about offensive linemen. Better than me. If we were having a receiver discussion, I'd be all about it. I wouldn't need no help. But in the offensive line realm, I know you guys probably want to hear a voice a little bit more knowledgeable than me. So I've got some guests planned, and we're gonna have our own mock draft. We're gonna move. Maybe I'll get another guest like KP on here we'll do like a tag team a mock draft where we both make our own picks or something. That sounds like fun. So we're in draft swing. We're in draft mode. We're making it happen. And I hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you are, go to whatever app you're listening to and leave Striking Gold a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate it. I see when every new review comes in, even if it doesn't have writing with it, you know, if it's not a written review, that's okay. I know when I get another one, and I'm just hoping it's 5 stars. So get out there, support your Striking Gold fam. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening, as always. Hopefully you found this an interesting and informative podcast. PrizePicks.com/gold. Do it. Plenty of sports right now. Not just for NFL. You've got MLB. You've got NBA. You've got March Madness. Both the dudes and the ladies putting it down. I've been watching both. And man, those have been some entertaining games. Caitlin Clark is for real. Kind of wild watching her play. All right, everybody, appreciate you guys. You know this, but for another episode, I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. signing out.